Welcome, welcome. It is your girl, Ola.Miss.Lola, without the H. And you are listening to a very special episode of This Black Girl Podcast. I am joined today by the ever-talented Shanika Brown. Not only is she a wife and a mother, but she is a minister, she is an educator, and she's an author. So, Shanika, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. If you'd love to tell our audience exactly about yourself.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm just elated to be here. So as you said, you know, I am Shanika Brown. I have been an educator for the past 13 years. I actually live actually in Miami, Florida. So I have been an educator with Miami Dade County Public Schools for the past 13 years. I have two boys, Josiah and Jordan, who are the heartbeats of my heart. So, you know, like I told you, they'll be 19 and 15.
Yeah.
So I am also the CEO of Books of Knowledge, where I write children's books, but I also inspire others to write out their visions, to write out their dreams through books. And I just started the Promise Academy, where we are getting ready to launch next month. And where we'll be tutoring kids K through 12 in reading. And that's pretty much my life in a nutshell.
And so my first question to you is, what inspired this journey? Like, obviously you said you were an educator for a number of years, but what inspired you to go from, like, you know, teaching the lesson plans to like being the lesson plans by writing books?
Oh, so a couple of reasons. So I grew up in the inner city, what we call Liberty City, here in Miami. And so I grew up in some of the roughest neighborhoods. And so my mom wasn't financially capable of taking us to do a lot of things. And then so for me, when I graduated college, I went back to those same neighborhoods and began teaching. And so I was looking for books that looked like us, that were created by us to share with the kids that were in my classrooms. And I kind of wanted to give them that feel of books that they could relate to. And I couldn't really find a lot of those. And so I decided to create them. And that's kind of how I became inspired through my own personal journey and through the kids that I taught in my classroom. So I kind of wanted to be an inspiration. And I always tell my kids, I said, you know, at the end of the day, if you can't go to certain places, you can always travel to them in a book.
Right. I love that. So you were looking for books, and you couldn't find books that looked like us. And that is something that's very real, because I never personally started acknowledging or taking in or even reading authors of color, or like specifically that are made by Black women, until I read the book Sula. And I was, at that point, I was like, I don't want to say I was grown, but I was obviously much older. And I just love the fact that we are just slowly seeing more and more and more books of little Black girls and of little Black boys that children can grow up seeing, not only seeing and learning and experiencing stories, but just seeing themselves. And I think it's really beautiful that you've contributed to that whole niche, I guess, or that whole genre.
I
think it's great. I have a child myself, and I always try to find obviously great storytelling books, and they love like the Disney and stuff, but I always feel like when they see somebody that looks like them, when they pick up a book, it hits different.
It does.
Yeah, you know? So, okay, let's look at the books, though. Let's look at them. They're so cute. I love it. So, there is Dear Little Brown Girl. Would you like to share just a little bit, just a small synopsis of the story?
Oh, wow. So, Dear Little Brown Girl is about that little girl on the cover. Her name is Chloe. And so, basically, what she does is she travels around the world to meet trailblazing and influential women who around the world who are the first female presidents of their respective country. And so she visits different countries around the world, And so she decides that when she goes back to one country on one certain continent, that she discovers that they never had a female president ever. And so she decides to change that narrative and make a difference at the end of the story. You got to get the book to see how she does that.
Okay, I love it. I love it. I'm already like, I need to click to cart. And the second book is Dear Little Brown Boy.
Yes. So Dear Little Brown Boy, it's about that little boy that's on the cover. His name is Chris. So we have Chris and Chloe. And so Chris is the opposite of Chloe, where Chloe is actually in the present and in current time. Chris goes back in time. And so he meets five influential African-American men who made a difference in history. And so with this book, I kind of wanted to have our boys to discover men that they never heard of. So they learn about men like Ernest Just, Benjamin Davis, and so men who are in aviation, science, sports, and so the technology. And so he goes back in time and meets these five influential Black men who make an impact and a difference in the world. And so he takes this class field trip and falls back in time. And so each of these men kind of gives him life lessons that he takes back with him and discovers that in order for you to make a difference, you have to learn your past in order to impact the future.
Love it. That's so exciting. So right now there's only two books in the series?
Yes, so far, because I actually been spending most of my time helping other people write their books.
Okay.
But I do have another one coming out this summer. And so, and that one is about autism.
Okay.
So that one's called Autism, There's Something Special About Me. And so... Yeah, and so because we have a lot of kids that deal with certain things and disabilities, even, you know, that was part of my own personal testimony with my kids. It wasn't autism, but when they were younger, they did go through the SPED program. And so so I kind of wanted to write a book of encouragement that your disability is not a disadvantage, or it doesn't limit you from whatever you have to do. You know, it's just like as we say that the sky is the limit. I want to tell kids that the sky is not the limit. There's no cap. You know, you can go as far as you want to go, whether it was disability, non-disability. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And so that is my next book. So it's called Autism, There's Something Special About Me. And that it's your disabilities and the things that we think limit us is actually our best ability.
I love that. I'm excited. Please let me know when it comes out so that I can get a copy and I can share it, because I know I have, thankfully, a lot of my friend circle that are, you know, either parents, educators, you know, family support systems who like to see all of these different resources but don't always, like you said, have the access to it. So I'm more than excited to definitely be sharing the word about this, and especially having certain stories like that framed and centered around Black people, specifically Black children, is so important. So, so, so important.
Exactly.
Well, because a lot of time I find that, especially with as I'm getting older and I see the older generation, I've learned that it's like, it's not even that they didn't want us to do better or to get ahead. It's just sometimes they did not have the tools or they didn't have the words to explain, comfort, or encourage. So it's like by having a wonderful tool, such as like a book, it's a way to kind of have that narration be that tool for you to help you find the right words to encourage your child, whether, you know, they're a little Black boy or they're a little Black girl, or if they have disabilities or if they're just suffering with mental health or whatever it may be. So I think it's absolutely inspirational. But the next thing I do want to ask is this program that you have now that you're teaching people to make their own books. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and what exactly it entails?
Yes. So basically when I started to write children's books, I had no clue, no idea where to start. And so I was like, what do I do? How do I start? And so once I kind of discovered how to do that, I started to begin to self-publish. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do it that way. And so once I kind of learned it, I just started kind of equipping other people. Because, you know, all of us, I always believe that all of us has a book in us, whether we tell our story, whether we tell stories that we wanted to share and so forth. And so I believe that we all have a story, but I think we're all walking stories. And so what I do basically is help you birth out your vision, right? Okay. And we kind of map that out. And I do it like I teach the kids when we teach writing to like fourth graders, right? And so basically, I kind of do it just like that, you know, and because adults learn better that way. I've come to learn that, right? Yeah. And so basically, I kind of walk them through. So, you know, I'll say, you know, what kind of genre book would you like to write? Is it a children's book? Is it a novel? Biography? So depending on the type of book that you want to write. And then we kind of do an outline. So, for example, if it's a children's book, what would be the theme of your book? Right. So what do you want the children or the reader to get out of it at the end? So what's the moral, the lesson, the theme? Should we walk away? What's our takeaway from that book? Once you kind of have your theme, you can kind of pretty much lay out, okay, the characters. So most of the time, people usually want their sons or their daughters or themselves to be the main character of their books. Me, I chose myself. It's easier because, you know, I can relate to me.
Yeah.
But fast forward, you just kind of really lay out. So for me, I knew that I've always, since a little girl, I've always wanted to travel around the world. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to make my book about traveling around the world. So now let's add another layer to that. What else did I want to learn? So I've always had this thing about studying history. And so, and I'm always fascinated with women who are making a difference and making an impact. And so forth. And I decided to research women around the world who were doing that and who were the first to do that. And I just added that to be the layer of my book. And I said, okay, I'm going to have my character with that little girl, which is me, to travel around the world. And she's going to meet first female presidents of their respective country. So in the book, that even in my own book, all the women in my book are actual first female presidents. It's not made up. It's actually realistic, factual information that's in the book. And so I decided to frame the book around that. So I said, okay, what would be the climax of my book? So you gotta always have a climax of your book. And the climax is, what country never ever had a female president? And so we all know where that is. So
yes, we do.
Right. So I was like, okay, so how do I make this different? And how does she make that impact and change that narrative? And that's make that the whole premise of the book. And boom, you have a book and you just kind of create your, once you kind of have your storyline, you can always fill in the gaps in between, you know, what you want her to do, where you want her to go, what you want her to look like. Those are the easy part. The hard part is kind of really having a theme and just really laying out the book. And once you kind of got that, you have a story. And it's pretty much easy. If you find you an illustrator, you're good to go.
I mean, that's the thing, because I've heard a lot of people, and I don't know if it's, I don't want to call it a trend, because like I love the fact of people sharing their stories and like, you know, having more voices, especially when a lot of books and a lot of narratives just push one side, one story, ever same theme of this girl meets that boy and whatever. I love hearing more stories, but I like the fact that you're actually also in the, I don't want to call it in the background, but to the side, you're also teaching people how to share their stories and how to share their stories in a way that will make them successful. Correct. Because it's very easy to say like, oh yeah, you know, find a theme, write a story, publish yourself, you'll be great. But like the fact that you're breaking it down and teaching people that, no, it needs to have this purpose. It needs to have this climax. It needs to have, you know, these elements in order to make the story, and essentially handholding and teaching them, being an educator, you know, teaching them the right way. Because a lot of people like to put coach next to the end of anything and charge people a fee or charge whatever and, you know, make their money and run. But I like the fact that you, you know, have a whole process to really help people to not only fulfill their purpose or to share their story, but to share their story well, that it'll connect to somebody else, you know, with the utmost ease.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, some people always, they'll come and tell me, they're like, Miss Brown, you know, I'm not a good writer. And oftentimes I'll say, I'll ghostwrite your story. You just, if you tell me like your layers and what you want, mm-hmm. I'll ghostwrite your story for you. I have no problem with it. You know, my thing is about making sure that I convey your voice, your vision that is not mine, you know? Yeah. And so that, you know, because when people write, most of the time they're writing from their heart, they're writing from their passion, and you don't want to deviate from their purpose and what they're trying to convey. And so I just try to make sure that, you know, we kind of talk that out, walk it through it, because I, you know, I try not to do anything without doing it in a spirit of excellence and without doing it without a, you know, I have to have a purpose of why I'm doing something. And so if you have a purpose, a goal, I want to help you set that. I want to help you achieve that. And so, you know, I just like what I do. I love teaching. So it's my heart. Yeah. It's definitely my passion.
I love it. I think it's really beautiful. And I think it's great to just have, I want to call it like a drive, a certain special type of drive, because it's not natural. And when I say natural, it's not common or it's not average to say that, like, to look at an issue and say, there's something missing out of the world, let me fill it and just, you know, and just go for it. Usually a lot of people will just notice the gaps or notice something missing and just keep it pushing. Oh, okay, well, I guess that's not meant for me, or we're not meant to have something like this. But I love the fact that you noticed and immediately identified that there are stories with little Black, you know, without Black children, something needs to be done. And then you were the one that actually did something about it. I love that. I think that's so endearing. Yeah, thank you. Well, cause it's, I'm not trying to drag people, so people don't drag me, but some people are very lazy. They'll just see the problem, cry about the problem, and then not do anything about it. So I really respect and appreciate seeing somebody actually do something about it and do it with joy and do it with, like, you know, a special positive vibe about it. Because, like, ever since, like, you and I started connecting, you haven't stopped smiling. You've just been glowing and you're talking about your purpose, and it just, you can see it on your face, and it gives me joy seeing that, you know.
Thank you.
So I love seeing that you're totally, at least so far, fulfilled with what you're doing. I'm sure you're gonna want to do more and elevate everything as it is. So my question is, just seeing like this theme of like, dear little Black boy, dear little Black girl, and that you're having other books being added to this series, is, I guess, like, is the goal to expand that series, or are you going to be creating a whole plethora of books? Is it something you'd want to expand into, I don't know, even having its own little animated show, or what is more... that may let's manifest what you'd like the brand to be.
You know what, I didn't even think about the animation. You just gave me an idea, actually.
There you go. Just put me on a little credit line at the end. That's
all right. I didn't think about the animation. So my overall goal is to have a catalog of books, and so I really want to expand that series. But in addition to that, I want to expose our kids, my next series, I actually want to expose our kids to different career fields that we often don't even think about. So like every year at our schools, we have career day, and our kids usually say the same things, which is, you know, it's not a problem with that. But I kind of want to expand their mind and their thinking outside the box, you know, to go in, you know, into computer science, AI, you know, making apps, you know, computer science, you know, just kind of really just wanted to expand our kids' vision and purpose, just kind of outside of the normal, you know, box that we're in, you know. And so I kind of want to write a catalog of books to show them different career fields. How do you get there? What do you need to get there? But in a fun, educational way, not like a boring way where you're like, this is going to take you 8 years to do. You know? Kids going to run. They're like, 8 years? I could go viral on TikTok in, in 5 seconds and be a multimillionaire. You know what I mean? And so, you know, but just kind of really exposing them to other things and so forth. And so I kind of want to create a catalog of different like careers with different characters, you know, with different stuff, you know, like Rita, the real estate agent, you know, Chris, the computer, you know what I mean? The computer tech, you know, so, you know, really just kind of expanding their minds outside of, you know, the day-to-day stuff, you know. And so with now with things and the way things are going with the pandemic and so forth, you know, I was just reading an article that during the pandemic, there are more millionaires per capita than any other time in history during the pandemic. And so I was like, wow. And you would think that it would kind of be the total opposite, but people are tapping into their potential. People are tapping into their gifts, you know, and, you know, there's a saying that your gift will make room for you. And so people are tapping into that, you know, and even our kids are tapping into that. We have kids that are going viral. There are kids with YouTube channels, you know, showing you different things. And so I just want to be able to be a part of that and expand our kids' knowledge that, look, you can do anything you want to do, you know, and now is definitely the time to do it.
No, I agree. Like, I love the line, your gift will make room for you, because like I usually in I guess my version of that is normally when you're in your own lane, there's nowhere to swerve. There's no traffic. As long as you follow your own lane, your own purpose, you'll be fine. Because, you know, there can be a million authors, but there's only one you. So when you make something, it's different because it's your book, or it's your, I don't know, your real estate agency, your, I don't know, your viral moment. Like, everything is unique. So I really resonate with that statement that your gift will make room for you. I love it. I could just imagine it like a moment where somebody's just, you know, elbowing out themselves and be like, let me through. Hello. Welcome. Arrive.
And I always tell people too, in addition to that, you know, besides that your gift will make room for you, but understanding that making sure that your feet are in the right room too, you know, and so basically making sure that you're connecting with the right people, you know what I mean? Because your circle, you know, your influence of circle, your people that you're with make a huge impact and a huge difference. And I tell my kids, when I was in the classroom teaching, I tell my kids that all the time. Watch your circle, watch you hanging around, you know. And you know, like there's a saying that if you hang around 6 millionaires, you know, 5 millionaires, you'll be number six, you know, because your circle makes a difference. And so make sure your feet is in the right rooms.
Well, okay, so with that though, my question to you is, what would you say are your red flags to know that, like, maybe you're growing out of a friendship circle, or maybe you're meeting a group of people that may seem nice, kind, but there's like those weird red flags where you're like, these aren't it. These aren't the ones.
So for me, when a person is at a place of being comfortable, it's always a red flag for me. So meaning, you should always be in a place where you are like uncomfortable. So because it's the thing that makes you uncomfortable that's going to push you to purpose. And so when a person is stagnant too, like they're like, okay, I'm comfortable here. And because when you're comfortable, you're not going to move.
Right.
But when you're, whenever you're uncomfortable, you're going to constantly move. And so when a person is stagnant, I'm like, right. Because I tell people all the time, every day you're constantly evolving. You're constantly changing. Like I tell people all the time, I'm not the same as I was yesterday. Today's a new day. Today I'm under a new grace. Right. And so I'm a better person. And right. So when a person is constantly just not moving and they're comfortable where they at, for me, it's a red flag. You know, I want to be around people that want to consistently and constantly grow. I want to be around people that are not comfortable where they are. You know what I mean? Not to the point of greed, because, you know, not that, but to the point of, you know what, how can I change? How can I evolve? How can I be better? Whether yeah. it's not, and not just in a financial state either, a spiritual state, an emotional state, a physical state, and so forth. So even with myself, physically, I had to evolve. I used to be 238 pounds and I lost 65. And oh, wow. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And so now, because, you know, because I did it, so now most of my friends are like, when are we going to work out? When are we going to, you know, girl, let's go walking. And yeah. I mean, so, you know, you want a circle of influence, you know? And so I think that, so in whatever area, you got to have people that's constantly evolving. You know, like I said, not just financially, it's not always about the money, but, you know, mm-hmm. you want friends that's going to help you grow spiritually. You know what I mean? Not letting you, you know, do the wrong things and helping you cultivate, helping you grow as a person. You know what I mean? Helping you build your character, helping you build your integrity, helping you as a, you know, an individual. You want people around you that, like I said, physically, you know, girl, put that bread down. You know?
Yeah.
Don't eat the cake, anime. You know, you mm-hmm. want those kind of friends that's going to, like, encourage you and motivate you. You know, your friends that, you know, emotionally, that you can trust with your emotions, that you can trust with your feelings, you know what I mean? And they're constantly growing, that you don't want to be around the same friend that she the same way for the past 5 years in the same emotional state. You know, you want somebody that you see that's growing, you know what I mean? You're like, you know what? She don't even act like that no more. Sis got a whole new attitude. She done changed. She done evolved. You want to be around people that's constantly growing. So for yeah. me, the red flag is when the person, A, is uncomfortable. Next for me is, I think that's my only red flag pretty much, you know, for me, cause I'm kind of really lenient when it comes to people, because I understand that we're human and I understand yeah. like we're constantly making mistakes. So, but for me, I just never want to be around individuals that are just comfortable where they are, you know, and I want to be around people that's growing, you know, so for me, that's kind of pretty much.
That's a big one for you. I got one. Fair enough. Well, okay. So you were saying that obviously, you know, if people are staying stagnant, that's a red flag. And I kind of agree, because, you know, people should be evolving, should be, you know, continuously learning, continuously developing, you know, improving yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, everything in between. And you mentioned, though, it's not all about money, and it's not like to the point that it gets greedy. So my question to you though is, where is that fine line between being, I guess, uncomfortable and hitting your potential and actually being like, I've maxed out my potential, now I'm just being greedy? I'm curious to know.
I think it's all about motive and intent.
So
your motive will, your motive and your intent will tell everything, right? So usually when it's whatever your motive is, you know, if it's greed, I just want it for me, then mm-hmm. you want to cross that line. So I think it's all about motive. So for me, you know, my prayer has always been, Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. I don't even, honestly, that's my prayer. I don't want it for myself. I actually want it so that I can help other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can help other children, where I can help a single mom. You know what I mean? Or I can help a married mom, because people swear that when you marry that you don't got struggles. You got struggles too. Matter of fact, you got the most.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
You got the most. You know what I mean? So I think people think it's actually backwards sometimes, you know? And so, you know, but where I can help, you know, I mean, I want to be able to one day go in a grocery store and pay for 20 people groceries in the line. You know, I want to be able to pay people rent. I want to, you know, be able to pay somebody light bill, somebody daycare bill. You know what I mean? You know, so I think it's pretty much for me, you know, where your heart is at the end of the day, you know, the motive behind. So the fine line is always motive. But other than that, you know.
No, I love that. That's important. That's actually very important because like you. Sorry, I don't know. I cut off for a second.
Okay.
But my question, I was going to say, motive is super important because, you know, you don't want to be helping somebody and you think like, oh, I'm helping them get ahead. I'm helping them do this and do that, only to find out you're helping them, you know, fuel some kind of weird, selfish motivation that if you ever have a moment, maybe of weakness or you're doing a little lesser than and you turn to them for help and they're like, oh no girl, I can't do that, that's gonna mess up. Yeah. But I think that's absolutely beautiful. Before we wrap up though, I want you to be able to share with everybody where exactly we can get these lovely books, Dear Little Brown Girl and Dear Little Brown Boy.
So my books are everywhere books are sold. So they are on Amazon. They are at Barnes and Noble's online. They are also at Walmart.com actually. And Books a Million. They're everywhere books are sold.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So make sure that you get yourself a copy for the little brown girl or the little brown boy in your life. And again, please let me know when your third book comes out because I would love to share it as well. And for anybody else who wants to, I guess, connect with you and reach out to you with like your writing program, the ghost writing, you know, how can they connect to you?
So they can email me at books with the S of knowledge LLC at gmail.com, or they can follow my IG page, which is Books of Knowledge. They can follow Books of Knowledge, or they can follow my personal IG page, I guess. And that is Dear Brown Girl 7, the number 7, on IG. Or they can follow me on Facebook, which is Shanika Brown, my name. And I'm also on Twitter at Dear Brown Girl 7. And so I'm on social media, all outlet.
Perfect. And I'm going to be putting all the socials in the description of this episode. So please follow, please click if you're interested in, like she said, ghostwriting, writing help, workshops, connect with her. She is fabulous. And if not, go buy her book for a little brown girl, little brown boy, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course. And with that being said, thank you again for joining me on today's episode. You are listening to This Black Girl Podcast. Again, I am your host, Lola, aka Ola.Miss.Lola, and have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thank you.